blackness. Keep on.
You know what, y'all? This is going to be a good show, because we understand that when things like that happen, it's about to be what it's going to be. So this is what we finna do. Bro, we got to kick this off right. You feel me?
Man, you know what it is, man. We finna run it back real quick like that.
Okay.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
Yo, welcome back to another edition of the Life Be Life and Podcast. Back up on the scene, now, I mean, I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J, back in the building like I ain't never left, and it feels so good. You already know what it is, bro. What's popping with you, man? Happy Wednesday.
Hey, happy Wednesday, man. These NBA playoffs about to kick off, man. I hate Zion left the game last night because, hey, they was going to win that game.
Lies.
That boy was cooking. That dude had 40 points,
yeah,
man.
That's exactly where he was trying to get to, because somebody was cooking. And it's time for him to get up out of there, get that late-night little grubby grub. He ain't trying to do this, man. He's not trying to hoop for real. Ben Simmons ain't trying to hoop for real. They don't want to hoop.
Like Randy Moss, play when I want him.
Man, and this is why I keep trying to stress to the world, the WNBA and women's college is what time I be on.
Yeah.
First of all, the draft is so much better. The difference between the WNBA draft, bro, and the NBA is the equivalent to a traditional black church and a non-ethic church. There's no reason the NBA draft is so freaking long, bro. Like, word rap, like WNBA. First off, you've been scouting for years, all season. Why you need 15, 20 minutes to tell us who you finna pick? You know who you finna pick. WNBA, they be like, now on the board, they be like, Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark, thank you, let's go.
Right, keep it pushing.
Man, round one be over before you get done frying hamburgers. But anyway.
You know what it is, man. That NBA with the sponsorship, man, they got all them commercials, like almost after every two picks, they got a commercial with those endorsements, and I just wish, you know, I feel like this, and we go move on. Sports is sports, you know what I'm saying? I understand that men's basketball may be, you know, more popular, but now we're in the age where people starting to complain about the product, you know what I'm saying? Oh boy, Booker just accused the NBA of rigging so the Lakers can get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So with the women,
all these things is legit, like.
Yeah.
They legit, people have legitimate beefs. And like you said, real quick, and then we gonna get back on track. But what you getting ready to see, and I want y'all in radio world to hear D to the J. I said this first. What you watching right now with the WNBA is the equivalent of the NBA's 80, or like Kevin Garnett said, equivalent. It's the equivalent of the NBA in the 80s transitioning into the 90s. The 90s is where you're really seeing an explosion of the NBA surge. So you're seeing that right now. This is what has happened that is going to make this push and get these girls this money. So the WNBA is expanding. They're expanding their teams. One of the teams that is set to come on board in 2025, 2026 is Golden State Warriors is picking up a WOL. Not the Warriors, but Golden State in general is picking up a WNBA team. So now that you have NBA teams buddying up to bring in WNBA, that means that ownership, the money is going to flow, especially when you have Ice Cube saying, I'll give Obey $5 million to come hoop with us one season, and she's only going to make $76,000 in her first introductory year. So that's
that's crazy, bro. Man. So
yeah.
The show tonight, man, what we got popping tonight?
So it's like this, it's like that. Look, we got this episode, Lifers. It is called Protect Yourself, Weapon Safety and Knowledge. So we are fortunate enough that we have a certified trainer and business owner, Armand Wayne, as well as his wife, will be joining us tonight. And this is a very important conversation because with so many people having weapons, we really have to ask ourselves how many are knowledgeable about the weapon that they have and definitely the safety with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see people toting these guns, bro, and they don't even know how to hold them. They sure don't know how to shoot. They don't know how to safely clean them, take them apart. So tonight, bro, we get to hear firsthand just a mixture of so many things that really deal with what we got to deal with every day, especially as head of households and men.
Yeah, big facts.
Yeah.
So, hey, I can't wait to get them on, man. I'll save the accolades to after the break. So y'all know what we about to do. So, hey, if your shoes ain't tied up, man, go ahead and tie them jokers up. If you got ice jingling, get you a refill. We about to do this thing. You hear me?
For the Life Be Life podcast or those on the author's guest stated resources and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Life Be Life podcast. Any content or information provided are opinion based. Listeners are encouraged to verify any and all communications, stats, numbers, thoughts, and comments for themselves.
Bottom line, we ain't trying to get sued, so whatever you hear, if you feel away, please don't holler at us.
Cooling on the corner with the cellular phone, you could tell that the East Bay was his home. More mail than the rest of the pushers, cause he got a Tech 9 in the bushes. And that's how his game was handled. First name Jack, last name Daniel, had two boys named E and Jack. E had the 9 and Jack the AK. Clocked on a street called Hennessy. Robbers with another brother named O.E. E had a freak and her name was Jen. Had a brother named Juice doing time in the pen. You couldn't tell that Jen was a freak though. Knocking boots with the dope dealer Cisco. E and J knew tonight they'd come. With two fat boys named Cardi and Run. They capped Jack's freak and the sight was scary. She was all bloody and her name was Mary. Officer Martini wiped up the body. And all fingers pointed at Run and Jack told Jack the hotel, so Jack tried to bail Juice out the jail, but O.E. had the judge on a payroll clock, so Jack shot the judge up and broke Juice out, and everybody's talking about Jen and Juice, Juice shot Jen cause the freak was loose, now E is shook, thinking they ain't gonna get me, I round up the posse and call up Mickey, Mickey was big, he only stole 8 balls, had 99 brothers up against the wall, E and J found out he made the call, so E and J and Jack and Juice signed them all.
About that, my boy.
Hey. So, you know, I always got history with music. Me and music go back like Cadillac on 4 flats. But so my older stepbrother, bro, was I'm not gonna say affiliated. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, because I don't want to ever encourage kids, but he was part of that shit. So inside of the crib, man, like the only music that I could listen to when I moved to the West Coast was Bloods. So Ice was acceptable. Hi-C, DJ Quick, Second to None. Those were like, that's the only music. And going to school every single day, Red, White, Flamed Up. Spice One, but that song was it. That was it.
And the funny thing, while it's playing, I see the video.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, he had all the bottles, you know what I'm saying, in the video. So, hey, that's going to take you back, man. All right, man. I hope y'all ready to go deep, man, because we about to make this happen. You hear me?
All day. Deeper than Atlanta.
I've been trying something lately, y'all. I want y'all to tell me what you think. I've been trying to get like a little theme song together for everybody, you know, when they come on, just to have a little something playing, you know what I'm saying? So tell me what y'all think about that. Hit the inbox, hit the page, you know what I'm saying? But let's do this. You hear me?
Yeah, let's get it.
Hey, yo, check
it
out.
Bro, is it, was that... What were we doing? The introduction was I supposed to be spitting bars. What are we doing?
Nah, we're doing the introduction, man.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Look at you.
I ain't know. You hey, kicked that so off.
As I was, man. As I was.
And I am. Right? What you saying? And I
am. I'm about to introduce this couple to the show, man. You could be the first black gun owner in St. Louis, and now he's, you know, the first black gun owner in Gulf County. My wife went through to get our concealed carry. We went through them, man. You know, I caught up with him on Facebook, signed up for the class, and it was like seamless. You know, you go take the class, they give you the right paperwork. You ain't got to keep running back and forth with them. They go give you what you need, you know what I'm saying, when you need it and how you need it. And that was appreciative. Even follow-up questions, you know, they was there. It wasn't like we got some money and now, you know, on to the next. So I want to present to some, man, introduce to others if you already know who we got. We have Armand and Bridget Wayne from Prime Time STL. Go ahead and clap it up for them one time. Hey, good evening. How y'all doing today?
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Yeah. Armand, you know, as I stated, you know, got up with y'all years ago, and I just appreciate it, you know, just I follow you guys on Facebook, always trying to, you know, get somebody in contact with y'all when they're talking about, you know, getting their concealed carry. And so I know, you know, before all of this, how did you get into this?
Yeah, so how Prime Protection STL got started, it was actually just, you know, been shooting since I was 8 years old with my dad, and I never let go of this bug, you know. And, you know, having a good wife, she came up and was like, yo, we can keep on doing this. We actually started in her mother's basement.
Wow.
So we had our first class there, and it just been up ever since then.
Yeah, man, it's crazy because even when I got in touch with you guys, and it might have been early, I don't know how long you guys have been in business, I was actually referred to y'all from someone else and just the process, you know. I feel like it was a black excellence just because you did everything that you needed to do to get the people where they needed to be, and you have continued on, you know what I'm saying? You're not trying, because I remember before I went to go try to take the class, me and my wife, it was like, $200 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that y'all made it economical.
Right. And it was a thing to where people at that point, they used to make fun of black people trying to be in the gun industry and say we only buy Jordans and stuff, but we don't know how to work our guns and we killing our kids and different stuff like that. But at the same time, the local avenues of where you could go to get a gun, get a CCW, go to the range, a lot of those places was not specifically advertising to people that were within our community. So we went to the community instead of the community coming to us, and it just kind of, we're very thankful for the community supporting us as well.
That's what's up.
So I know you mentioned the wife, but I know she's right by your side. I know in the pre-show we were just kind of talking about how important it is, you know, just to have a good woman by your side. And a lot of times, you know, yes, as, you know, we're the head of the household and we're the leader, our mate is equal because there's some things that we can't do that our mate is able to. So tell us, you know, how instrumental she was in this process. Well, she can tell it herself just so she can tell it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we do.
So it's true. I can speak on Prime Protection STL. So hey y'all, it's Bridget or Boss Lady. So when it came to the erecting and developing Prime Protection STL, I saw and understood and supported my husband's vision, and without question, with him being the protector and the head of the household, you know, I wanted to ensure that I was an investment, an investor in what it is that he always wanted. So just being able to support his dream, seeing his passion behind it and making sure that it was executed was my ultimate goal. And since us starting really back in, what, about 2014, becoming a business in 2016, and then opening the first Black-owned gun store here in St. Louis in 2020 was a really dope process. Nothing that was easy, and we understood that it wouldn't be easy, but we continued together, you know, hand in hand, side by side, sleepless nights, rich, poor, whatever, still poor. You know what I'm saying? And we just thrived together because it was a selfless act over a selfish act. Like Armand said, there was a need in the community, and we made sure and have continued to make sure that we're providing and filling that void in the community. So it was, I would say there was some easy times, and then there's some rough times. But with God, of course, prayer and everything else, we just keep going, and I keep supporting.
Yeah, and that's real dope. And so, you know, you guys mentioned the fact that there wasn't a lot of avenues for a particular community, our community in general. And so, of, you know, standing back like a lot of businesses do and expect the community to rush to you, the clients of the neighborhood to rush to you. You got out in the community. One of the things, so, you know, I've been a gun owner for several years, walked away from having a gun, and then, you know, went back into it. And one of my main concerns was the safety. And so one of the things that I wanted to point out to people was just that unintentional shooting, the gun injuries, things of that sort. And so one thing that kind of stuck out in my mind is there was a statistic that has stated that one out of every three, because children in the home, whether it's aiding to, you know, self-harm, just a lot of different things, accidental shootings. So when you have kids and you have all of these things present, and we understand the significance of that danger, when you all are teaching your safety, your awareness, is there one aspect of it that you more so will lean to, or is it like, hey, we're going to start with gun safety for you or the home, the safe? Like, what do you... How do you govern me? I want to take this class. I have multiple children in the home. I have a wife in the home. How do you steer this ship? What do you guys do first?
The first thing is we're gonna need for you to buy in to what we're telling you. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. And especially like with people explaining your story, you kind of know a little bit about the entry of the firearm, but you may not have went in depth to know that, yo, when I go and buy a gun, I need to also put enough in my budget for a lockbox. I need to make sure that I have a cleaning kit. I need to also make sure that I have a bag for when I go into the range. I need to have at least 500 rounds of ammo. But people come in, they want to purchase one gun. They want to purchase a box of ammo, and they feel like they have done everything that they need to do to protect themselves. They didn't equate in the price for a class or to know, get the knowledge. And one of the first things that we started to do in our class is we want to get a basis of who we have in the class. And I can tell you, we've only had two classes that could do this one task that we asked them. We get them in, we have them get refreshments and everything, and then we ask them, what are the core four gun safety rules? And usually I ask them, like, who's the gun owners in here? And, you know, we usually have about half of the class are already gun owners. And it's a lot of classes that we have that don't know one gun safety rule.
Mm.
You know, so that's just showing you how, I don't want to say our community is uneducated, because I have a small, like, abundance of people to question like that. It's not like I'm questioning the whole St. Louis City, but it makes me wonder, how many of y'all are really out here buying these guns and simply don't know the safety rules to keep even yourself in order?
If you don't mind, if it's not too much information, go ahead and run those down.
Okay.
And you ain't got to elaborate.
So the first
one, give a, you know, summarization.
Okay. So the first one is, we're going to keep our finger off the trigger until we're ready to shoot. The next one is, we're going to know our target and what's beyond it. So if you shoot at some in the foreground, that bullet can pass through it and hit some in the background. The next thing is, we're going to treat every firearm as if it's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to keep it pointed in a safe direction. Okay. Mm-hmm. So those are the core four. And the reason why they are written like that is so that if you mess up on one of them, the other one will protect you.
Makes sense.
Yep. And there's a kind of a group of us instructors who are trying to get a fifth gun safety rule, which is never catch a falling gun.
Yeah, and then kind of to elaborate on what Armand was stating, when it comes to you purchasing a firearm, having children in the home, having anybody in the home, we always make sure that, one, safety is the ultimate. It comes before anything, and if you can't do it safely, you shouldn't do it at all. And then also teaching everybody in the house needs to know the safety rules. They should know that, you know, especially those that live there, where the firearm is, you know, and how to properly act safely with the firearm. Teaching our children, we actually will say that gun talk is the new sex talk to our children, because we know that they are going to come across it, whether it's from video games, whether it's from showing it on the TV and social media, you know, hearsay, things like that, or just simply what it's like in our children's classes. We use the example of, you know, if you find one on the playground, what will you do? So they need to know at the earliest age possible that it will be able to be retained, and then being able to be a beacon for the next person. So that doesn't just, you know, go with our children. It goes for everybody, you know, and then that will help with, one, you know, all of the accidental discharges of firearms or things happening that we don't intend to happen. And then it gives you that confidence to know that the whole family is doing it right. And when you do it right in the house, when you go out in the world, you should also allow that to follow you, and then you can train the next person. So that's the ultimate goal, is making sure that those that are acquiring firearms and things like that just at least know those avenues of what to do and how to properly do it.
Man, like, just watching y'all Facebook page, and if I may be frank, before we slide over the break, but I want you to answer this question. Over the last maybe year or so, y'all have been in pretty big places. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have been getting access to things. See, that's how you know I pay attention. But y'all get access to certain things, like the normal people. You know, I think it was like a year or two ago, y'all got like the first edition of something that had just been made. So I was just like, man, it's really started making me pay attention that here's a black married couple that is really making it happen. But when you cross that barrier, and of course I'm talking about that color barrier, to where you can now, like now you got your ticket to where people start to know who you are and you can move about freely. How hard was it to actually get over that hump?
Man, it's still hard. To this day, we have people who think that just because we say we're black owned that we are anti everybody else, and that's not the case. We're happy to see our business becoming more diverse. We've had a few Asian students coming in. We're getting more Hispanics, more white people coming in, and it's beautiful because when they get here, they like, this was a breath of fresh air. Like, I didn't think it was going to be this good. And you can check by the reviews on Google and stuff. But I'm here to tell you, when I first got started, I remember going to a gun show. And it was this dude who basically, he was a memorabilia collector. And he sold guns. And he was like, I want you to buy a gun. But when I figured out what it was that he had, this was probably 2010, 2011, he was selling all Nazi memorabilia, and he was one of the biggest sellers at these gun shows to young black men. And, you know, it was a deep concept once I really realized why he was so friendly and joking with us and was telling us all this stuff about how to kill a man and all this type of stuff. And I'm just like, why was he releasing that information? But he was a neo-Nazi, you know what I mean? And I didn't know what that was at the time. You know, I was only probably like 20, 21, 22, so I hadn't done my history on that. And when I think back on it and how many guns he sold, like, it's truly heartbreaking because his intent was to give us a tool to destroy ourselves without any education.
Yeah, and then to add to that with, you know, we had to, when we basically saw what the need was, we knew that if we wanted to provide this service, we had to go in those uncomfortable rooms. We had to go in with the confidence of knowing, hey, we're here to gain the proper education, and we want to know what it is that you are teaching in your community. So that, you know, of course, those places, they're teaching it the way that it should go. But like Armand was alluding, in the gun shows and things like that, they're not always doing it. They're just putting firearms in young black men's hands and then say, go do, you know, go do what we see you are about to do, or, you know, what that stereotype is and things like that. So we went into those. We went into those uncomfortable rooms and just went forth with it. So we do. We travel around the United States to gain that good knowledge to bring it back to our city.
So before we start the break, my wife did literally just text me, and she said, and if we have time later on, I'll get a backstory of that. But she said, you guys are the ones that made her feel comfortable shooting and just getting done, period.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. And again, later on, if we got time, you know, we will. I'll tell you about it. But we finna slide the break. Is y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Hold on. Before we go to break, would y'all hit y'all ready for what we're doing? We told y'all we're going to start up. Is y'all ready? Come on, man.
Yep,
come on, that bitch. Oh, they ain't ready. We're going to get them.
Okay. Y'all think y'all turned. You know what? I'm going to quit talking.
We got to get them there.
Cruising down the street in my 6'4". Jocking the freak. Clocking the dough. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there. Cold shooting some hoops. A car pulls up. Who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said. Give me the pay. base. You say my man JD is on free base. The boy JD was a friend of mine till I caught him in my car trying to steal an Alpine. Chasing up the streets to call a truce. First I beat him down cause I had the juice. Little did he know I was from the old school. One sucker beat, didn't know the rule. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking to trash, we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said
aha.
What?
Yeah, I know that one caught you by surprise tonight, bro.
Man, as soon as that mug came on, man. They don't know about that, bro.
They know about it, man.
They don't. I just like to say they don't know. Why is it when something is really cold song-wise, you got to tell everybody else in the room they don't know nothing about that? If you don't say you don't know nothing about that, it ain't popping. So they don't know nothing about that. But yeah, bro, we back. So awesome break. Real quick question, y'all, before we jump into this thing. So before we went to break, just to kind of rewind a little bit, you all have mentioned how important it is to have conversation with even the children and others in the home. And I want you to kind of talk about real quick, like how young is too young? You know, you said it's the new sex conversation. How young is too young? Like when would you say a child is really ready, not necessarily to handle the gun, not to touch or even see it, but when do you start to have that conversation?
So right now it's a YouTuber who has his son shooting. And everything, this young man has been training since he was 3 years old.
Nope.
I'm not saying that that's everybody's demographic that they should go out there and do that.
Yeah.
But once your child can comprehend, and what you don't realize is your kid watches you like a hawk. We've literally had in our children's class, a young man came in, and he was like, yeah, my son ain't even never seen me with my gun or whatnot. And it humbled him when we went through the class and we was like, have you ever seen anybody with a firearm talking to the babies? Mm-hmm. I had the young group, the group from 4 until 10 that day. And my associate instructor, he had the group from 10 to 18. So I had the babies. And okay. This one kid, he jumps up. He's about 5 years old. And he was like, yeah, I seen my daddy. He put his gun on top of the refrigerator in the cabinet. And the daddy almost fell back because he was like, you seen me do that? Because the kid had told off on him. You know, so the whole thing is we have to train our babies. The first products we ever sold, and unfortunately, I don't remember the family's name, but the first product we ever sold was lock boxes. And we used to bring them into our classes and allow for people to buy the lock boxes. And they were really affordable and everything, but it was because of a certain reason. It was 1 year, I want to say probably about maybe 8 years ago now, but a family went Christmas shopping, and they went Christmas shopping, and the son was basically playing with the gun, and he killed his sister in Barrington Downs in Florissant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that happened, you know, and it was like, I'm a doer, a solutionary style person. So it was like, I can't save the world, but what can I do immediately?
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think to do was sell lock boxes. And a lot of people in our industry think of lock boxes and safes as anti-gun, when no, it's not anti-gun. It's anti your children killing yourself or you mm-hmm. hurting yourself or, you know, people stealing from you and taking your gun.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
and not to cut you off, Armand, and I apologize, but I want to piggyback on that, because that those last few points that you mentioned are vital, because so many people that I've spoken to, and I can even recall like a mental struggle that I had years ago, is like, okay, if I put my gun in this safe, this lockbox, and something pops off, I ain't gonna have time to get to it. So you like, do I do it? Do I not? And but like you mentioned, kids getting to this, other adults. And so there are so many statistics and things that are out there to where when that gun is in the home, first off, this is a tie-in to mental health, our mental health episodes, and we know that one in every five persons that are in a home struggle with mental health. And so sure. That being the case, somebody could be in the household, somebody's household right now, we don't even identify that they're struggling, but because we have an unsecured firearm, can we imagine that feeling of our loved one taking their own life because we've given them the tool, not knowing that, you know, what they're going through, or like you just mentioned, the circumstance that took place locally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy.
And we got, and see, this is the thing. So, like, probably when you were going through your situation and it made you say, like, look, I need to get these guns out of the home, you probably didn't have anywhere to go to for help. Well, there are several different programs that you can look into for mental health now with firearms. The first one is called Hold My Guns. You can look them up. It's holdmyguns.org. And if you are having, like, let's say your son is having mental issues or mental break, you can go and have your gun sit in a gun store safe. And when the issue is all ran out, or your son moves out, or different things, the situation changes, you can go and get your guns back.
Mm.
Ooh.
You know, that's one agency. And then you have another agency that you can basically give yourself a self-check without going to a doctor and they just saying, oh, you're crazy, man. You need to get rid of all your guns. It's called Walk the Talk America. And it's a great program put on by Mike Cedini. It's an online thing to where they have pro-gun psychiatrists who will keep it real with you and let you know, like, hey, man, you might need to take a break from your firearms because what you're going through is heavy, and I want to help you through this. You didn't have those avenues 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the gun game is changing because we're not blind to the fact that people hurt themselves with firearms.
Yeah.
But a majority of people who are killed with firearms are done by themselves. They do it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the statistics that you got to kind of, and the FBI has all these stats on the on their website as well. So most people think it's like a million people a year that get killed by guns, and it's nowhere near.
Yeah. And also, to add to that reality, bro, that where a lot of people, almost so many homes have a gun in it, and the reality is that that gun that you own has a better chance of harming a family member unintentionally than it does in actually protecting your household from a burglar or an intruder. That's the reality. Those are the statistics. You have there's a greater chance, a better likelihood that you're going to hurt yourself or a family member than the intended purpose.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that comes down to adults not being adults as well. So, like, just like we were in the class and – you know, we have several ladies who come out and say, I need a firearm that has a safety on it. And then I explain to them, I'm like, well, are you going to remember to take the safety off when you got a 300-pound man punching you in the face?
Mm.
You know, this is how you have to think about this. What that safety is that you're thinking about is actually for your children who – after the age of 5, they'll be able to take a safety off.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So you not keeping the gun, A, locked up, or B, on your person, that's the problem.
Mm.
people don't want to say that, hey, I'm the problem in this situation.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. And you have to make them be accountable if they're going to be gun owners.
True.
Yeah, that's
bro,
so true.
I feel like you got something really to contribute to that. What you thinking?
Well, it's not necessarily to contribute because ever since Missouri changed its law, let's just say what, maybe 10 years ago, to be an open carry state. And then a few years later when you guys came along and I got myself and my wife concealed carry, so I started, you know, with the little knowledge that I have, I started trying to educate others like, yo, you got to go to this class, sit in this 8-hour class, do your thing, because there's a huge difference between open carry, concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
So in a few minutes, are you comfortable either Bridget or Armand kind of talking about that and kind of like, you know, if there are likenesses or differences and maybe, you know, possibly the consequences?
Yeah, I can definitely go over that. And the beast that you're fighting, Tony, is the media aspect of it. And that's because the media only gives you a very short blurb. Oh, Missouri is now an open carry state.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tell you anything else. They don't give you the Missouri Revised Code to be able for you to go and look up the actual law on open carry. So the first thing that I want to tell you is Missouri has never, never had a law against open carry. You have to think about it. We're a cowboy state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be farms out here. Missouri has never had ordinances or law. Well, they've never had laws against open carry. So when it came up, basically the state was just letting people know that, hey, there's no law against open carry.
Mm.
What people did was they listened to the media and they didn't read all of the fine print, where basically because it's a city ordinance, like, and you know we got 86 different municipalities in the St. Louis area, metropolitan
right.
area.
Right.
Each one of those can make an ordinance if they will allow or won't allow open carry.
Oh.
So that's what actually happened. Now, what people like to call open carry here in Missouri is constitutional carry, and we are not a constitutional carry state. Okay? Because if we were a constitutional carry state, it would be illegal for people with private property to tell you that you can't come on their property with firearms.
Mm.
So a true constitutional state is like Texas.
Okay.
You know, Texas, you can go on a college campus with a firearm.
That's
you
wild.
Can't do that here in Missouri.
Nah, you can't. They just, that's and that's even just crazy to think about, though.
Yeah.
Right. So, but this is the whole thing. We have what is called permitless carry, and it only protects you on non-private property in these cities. It does you no good if you're in the center of Walmart and you got to shoot a person.
Mm.
Because they said that they didn't want you on their property with a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
They have it marked on their door. Okay? So that's what we're up against. And so everybody, when they came out with the terms, and you had different media outlets saying it in different ways. Oh, we got constitutional carry. Oh, we got permitless carry. Oh, we got open carry. Don't you think the community can be confused?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother, he called me, and he was like, yo, can the felon homies carry a gun now? And I'm like, nah, man, they can't carry a gun. They are what is called restricted person.
Mm.
So the law does not attend to them.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you just hear all of that and it's confusion, when me and it's a money aspect behind what it is that I'm telling people, hey, still get your CCW. So not only can you be covered on private property here in Missouri, but you can also be covered up in 36 other states as well.
Nope.
But they don't want to pay me. You get what I'm saying? And the reason why they don't want to pay is because they feel like I can already do that on my own. And you don't know how many people we still hear getting gun charges for stuff that they shouldn't have gotten gun charges for if they would have just taken the freaking $80 course.
Man, I know we went to Memphis, and I checked the state laws. They show reciprocity. Bet. My buddy and me, you know what I'm saying? We went to Indianapolis to a Philly game, and I checked. And it's crazy when you start checking reciprocity, especially if you're worried about, you know, your safety and, you know, just your, you know, just making sure that I stay alive and I can get back home to my family or to my kids. I really think that is important. So as we turn the corner, man, you know, we got the history, how y'all got there. Where y'all headed? What we finna expect from y'all in the future?
Okay, so we got a couple of things coming up. We're expanding. It's a little bit tougher than what we thought originally, but we are planning to expand down to Atlanta. So Prime Protection ATL is on its way. The other thing that we are doing is we are concentrating on our new training programs that we have in place. We have a step up program for pistol shooters with Pistol One, Advanced Pistol, and then the Active Citizen. So those are basically our three steps to get you not just shooting at a target and thinking that you are a shooter, but we want to get you moving and grooving and putting some stress on you so that we can basically simulate if you were in one of these horrible life-saving type of situations to where you can get out of it successfully. That's our main goal, because a lot of people, too many people go to the range once a year and be like, yeah, I'm a shooter. And then they don't pick that gun up for a year and they lose everything that they've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our next thing. And we have availability on the 28th for our Pistol One, and then also on May the 5th for Advanced Pistol.
Yep. And then I guess I can add to that some things that are continuing to rise in Prime Protection STL is us being a part of more of the homeschool community as well as the public school system. So over the past year, we've been working with a homeschool group, Academy of Scholars, who are absolutely phenomenal under the direction of Dr. Hill. And she has allowed Prime Protection STL to be basically like their gym teachers. And we're teaching basically, of course, firearm safety to our youth. And then
they do it better than the adults.
They truly impress us. Wow. And then we're teaching them firearm safety, and then we'll be evolving into a skeet shooting team. So that later on down the line, when they get into, you know, college and things like that, they'll be able to possibly acquire scholarships and funding and things like that for their secondary education. And then, yeah, last year we also connected with Riverview Garden School District and was a part of their community outreach and engagement fairs, you know, trying to get that firearms training and teaching back into our public schools. So that's one of our really, really big goals, is to be able to even expand that type of education in St. Louis.
That's dope. So we've gotten a lot of information out to the public. I want to ask y'all a question, and I want y'all to answer this because I feel like it's very vital. It's an aspect that I don't think a lot of people think about when they're dealing with safety. So we've talked about teaching kids safety from a young age. We've talked about adults being adults and locking up their pistols and just taking control and ownership. as these children start to get older, and now they're teenagers and they're driving our cars and they're kind of coming and going, I want y'all to talk about something a lot of people don't think about. So there's a lot of stories that I hear to where little Timmy has, he's going to spend the night over, you know, Dan's house. He's going to spend the night over Dan's house tonight, right? And he, all of a sudden, you in the house by yourself, and you hear somebody, sounds like they're coming through the door in the basement, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. How vital is it to you all that a parent and a kid should have an understanding of coming and going in and out of the house? Because if I am a gun owner and I do have this pistol, and I believe that everybody here is here and whoever ain't. And so if there's a noise coming from downstairs or a back room, it must be an intruder. And the particular story that I'm referencing, this young girl was supposed to be at a sleepover, has came in the house to grab something. She's in the closet. The dad ends up shooting her in her own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the parent that's a gun owner that has teenagers that are able to kind of come and go, not necessarily as they please, but, you know, it might be 9:30 at night, thinking whatever, and then here comes somebody through the house.
Yeah, so that is where training comes in. And that example that you gave, it happens very, very rarely. There's a couple stories that have came from out that are like that from the past few years, and that is coming from people who are not in the gun culture and who are not trained. The first one is the young man. He walks in, doesn't know that his daughter is sexually active, and he blows the boyfriend's brains out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And then you had another one where the daughter was sneaking up on her dad and was doing the prank, you know, and he didn't realize that it was her, and then he shot her in the chest. So these types of things all boils down to training. And a lot of the times people don't realize they just be so eager to shoot somebody where you may need more information.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. So, like, I have a man-sized human living in my house right now. My son is a senior in high school and everything, and he's slightly a little bit taller than me and everything. And, you know, I'm serious. And we be going down for snacks at the same time in the middle of the night. But it's a whole thing of my firearm has flashlights on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a burglar's not going to move around in the dark. He's going to cut on the lights because he needs to see. He doesn't know my house like I know my house.
Right.
So these are some of the things that you learn in home defense and training. And one of the best avenues of this, and they literally have a class and a book that I sell here in the store that is all about home defense tactics. And it has a whole section just about this subject right there. But the number one thing I say is training. The number two thing is have a flashlight on your home defense weapon.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Armand, man, we, hey, this has just been so knowledgeable because I felt like I was decent as a gun owner, but you just really shed some more light. But as we get ready to shut this thing down tonight, how can people reach you? Go ahead and give out social medias, email addresses, whatever the case may be, how people can reach you.
Yeah, most definitely. You all can reach us, one, directly in person here at Prime Protection STL's Tactical Boutique. We're located at 12507 Natural Bridge Road, Bridgeton, Missouri, 63044. Give us a call. Our number is 314-282-83-9512 for training and 314-279-1382 for the direct store. Also, follow us on social media. We're still on Facebook and Instagram solely, and that's at Prime Protection STL. or once we expand out, it'll be Prime Protection ATL as well.
Follow the ATL page just for a backup as well.
Yes.
Because the way Mark Zuckerberg be playing, he be acting like I be talking about killing people when I'm talking about saving lives. It's two different things.
Yeah. But, yeah, so you can reach us there if you need to email us. It's info@primeprostl.com. Oh, and we have an online website. So if you don't want to get up out of your bed and you're scrolling at night, utilize our online website. You can place your orders, all of that type of stuff. You can register for training, everything at www.primeprostl.com.
That's dope. Before I turn it over to you, bro,
I want to say this
real quick. Armand, I'm going to get with you behind the scenes because you may not know. I don't know if you've looked at our page and seen my picture, but we go back, and I'm going to say this to all the lifers. No, one, it's a joy and a pleasure to see in 2024 the way that you speak, the way that you process thoughts, being a husband, being concerned for not only your family and your safety, but for others. And that is a beautiful thing for me to see. And I say that especially with the business that y'all have. And the last memory that I have of you, and when we talk behind the scenes and I run this to you, you can be like, you lying to me. So, bro.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to kick him back over because I know he lost. There was no boss lady in these days. This is every bit of 2000.
Hey, let me get my time so we can get up out of here. You can talk about
behind the scenes. Wait a minute. Boss lady been around for a long time.
boss lady wasn't up here on this day. You wasn't there. You was boss teenage lady then. Bro. Bro, do your thorough thism, man. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time within the night. Take this thing back over, man, and let's start to set it up, man, and set this thing off right.
And thank you all for having us on.
Hey, we appreciate it, and we go give our soapboxes. This is where we kind of give our synopsis. I'm going to wrap mine up in about a minute so we can get out of here on time.
Yeah.
But, hey, we appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
All right, so my soapbox is going to be a story. As I'm prior military, you know, came home, I had my challenges, and I never thought about owning a gun. My wife came to me, and she's like, hey, I want a gun. I was like, man, you don't want no gun, because we got little kids in the house. She asked the second time, hey, I want a gun. I'm like, yeah. You don't want a gun. Got these kids in the house. So she came to me a third time. Was like, hey, I want a gun. So, you know, I went, you know, to the little pawn shop, bought her a little 380. It was a little 380 Pico, and, you know, it is what it was. Then a little bit later, we got up with y'all. And I maybe had a 380 at the time, too. I think I bought mine first. We got up with y'all. We took the class, went through the course, you know, got everything together. And we just look back at ourselves, and I look at her on how she's comfortable so I can own multiple guns, ARs, you know, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of y'all, man, like y'all comfort level and how y'all made her feel. Y'all was a black couple, you know, that's trying to make a child sales. Y'all just happen to be in business together and get married. And, you know, again, even the price that you're quoting now is still cheaper 5-6 years ago when we tried to go through the other people. So I just want to commend you tonight just for allowing me to put that step forward to continue to be, you know, the husband and the protector, continue to educate my kids. We don't get to the range like we should, but I'm going to take your, you know what I'm saying, knowledge and information, and I'm going to ramp that up a bit. So, hey, from the Dyson household, we definitely, definitely appreciate you. And I'm Tony D, and you know I'm still up on the scene now. I mean, what you got, bro?
Yeah, man. So real quick, though, I really, really would like to see something that circled around, whether it's whether it's some type of ordinance, law, you name it. But I would almost like to see some type of mental evaluation before people own the gun. I know they do background checks, but I really think that people's mindset needs to be reviewed, because everybody just can't have this power, this life-changing power. And I think about that Nas song, "I gave you power, I made you buck wild." You know what I'm saying? This thing can that ripple effect for generations. The other phase of that is, I want to encourage everybody, don't buy a gun to offset your physical shortcomings. And what I mean by that is, you knew you was getting beat up all your life in grade school. You getting beat up in junior high, high school. Nothing wrong with being you, but now that you can possess a gun, do not grab a gun and now you want to be Mr. Tough Guy that can't nobody talk crazy to you now because you got a gun. And again, you're going to ruin not only your life, not only your families, not only generations to come, but other households and other families of the generation. So a gun is not how we answer things. In the midst of everything we talked about tonight, let's also keep in mind that it is conflict resolution, and we need to institute that as adults to adults and then adults to children, and keep that to be a constant lesson as well. So signing off, man, it is that time. I am your host, D to the J, back in the building like I ain't never left. Soapbox. Bro, what do you do?
I got to make a quick statement before we slide, man. And I'm going to go ahead and close it because, you know, life is going to keep on life, and we're going to be here to talk about it. But check it out, man. If y'all replay this and you hear what he said about him and the neo-Nazi talking for years, just sending guns to our streets, we know he's not the only one. Use your mind.
On top of the crates they dropping off. On top of everything else. That's another topic for another night.
Yes, sir. But I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J. You on the scene, nah, me. And I'm still in the building like I ain't never left. Bro, do what it do.